Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast, the Challenge Ride or Dies episode 12, 13, 14, who cares, who knows, is in the books. I think it's 13, is in the books, and we are back here to talk about yet another elimination, yet another win by the yellow, purple, orange underdog team, whoever it was this week, and just get back into it. Of course, I am one of your hosts, Matt Ligori, alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
Oh, hello, hello. I'm good. Glad to be back here for episode 13 of the Challenge 38. Definitely, you know, good to be back, whether this episode was particularly exciting or not. Always glad to be back here.
So I will keep on that topic of the episode numbers and just the general sentiment that maybe we're both coming into this podcast with just a little statistic for anybody at home. So we did see last week Nelson and Norris went home. Episode 12. I'm sure you could, you know, recall the team that went home before then, the last team to fully go home.
Oh, God. Michelle and Jay.
Michelle and Jay. Episode 8 on the date of November 30th.
Oh, a full month.
2022.
Almost over a month at this point.
It was like... over a month. or whatever. Or maybe not. But yeah, a full a month between a full team being eliminated. Here we are. I mean, look, we're a lot of discussion about when is this going to end. I don't know. Next week, probably not. Maybe not. Who knows?
No.
But one team has been fully eliminated from the game since November 30th, and the two possible you know, outcomes that we're looking at for the next potential team to be eliminated would be Casey losing an elimination or Fessel losing an elimination. Right, I'm not forgetting anybody that's hiding in that hotel.
No,
both outcomes don't seem likely, but
I mean, they've never happened before, so.
So, yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that we lose someone like back to back the next 2 weeks than we lose Fessel or Casey.
Right. I did feel, I mean, so like, let's get into this episode sooner or later because there's so much to talk about. But I think I had made my maybe official call that I was like, I can see it being Bananas and Nani being the team that is, you know, actually, like, surprisingly, both eliminated before this twist ends. And I was watching this one thinking, oh, I'm about to be halfway there. The entire episode, it was, you know, a lot of Nani, you know, especially, you know, getting some personal story and whatnot. And like, as we saw, it was not because she was going home. It was because it was her mom's. It was genuinely just because it was her mom's birthday and she was getting that moment with Casey there. But I really did the entire time be, I was like, I know Nani's going home. Nani knows Nani's going home. Casey knows Nani's going home. Everybody knows that Nani's probably not coming back into the house. So it did genuinely, you know, take me by surprise when that went in her favor.
Yeah, I mean, I came around to thinking it was Nani's boot episode, but I will say even before that, I thought it was Amber's boot episode with the, like, again, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised that we get it every single week, but, like, Amber and Chauncey have a call with Amber's family, and then Amber and Chauncey are so in love, and then, oh, don't worry, it's not your fault. So we got about, like, 17 of those scenes again this week, so I was like, oh, all right, Amber might be going home. Oh, maybe Nani's going home. So the only outcome I didn't expect was the one that we ended up getting,
which I mean, yeah, so there's so much more of the story to be told, and you know, I guess to get to a little edgy on the challenge, which never ends well because they never you know, you can never, well, edgy never ends well in general, but especially in the challenge, you don't know what to expect with any of their edits. Look at Nelson. But it just feels like there's more to tell with the Fessel and Mariah story. I don't think it's over. You know, it would be a surprise to see Fessel get eliminated, especially now that, like, Fessel and Jordan were broken up. I feel like, not Jordan, I'm sorry, Nelson. I feel like Chauncey is now, like, the obvious one to say, like, okay, well, we should send him in and maybe he'll lose and whatever. On that side, if that comes up, so I do feel like there's more to the Fessel and Mariah story. So I really just, like, don't feel like she's gone.
Yeah, I don't think she's gone. I definitely think she's coming back in. I don't know that I'm feeling winner story for them whatsoever. No,
that would be a mess. If this was like, because they want their champions to be like, you know, emphasizing their theme. And like Bananas and Nani, sure. Olivia and Horacio, yeah, like, or I don't know, maybe I don't know why I went right to them, but like Amber and Chauncey, Devin and Tori, like all these other teams that are showing the theme in like a strong way, and this is the one team that's being like, no, we suck as a pair.
I mean, I don't know how you could edit this to be a semi-functional team, but I would still be surprised.
So, I mean, when we get back to the house at the beginning of the episode, we are in that headspace where Bananas kind of kicks things off, making the joke about how Mariah was the one who could have saved Fessy and did not. And she really does take a very, you know, oh, I just didn't know. I'm a rookie. You're so much smarter than me stance.
Yeah, this was weird. I feel like every single person was acting weird in this scene. First with Fessel being like, well, I hope they're done targeting me. Like, why would they be? like, you know, if he genuinely like doesn't target the like Jordans and Devins, or like, you know, tries to screw over them on that side next week, then like you're a dumbass. So if he believes that, and then Bananas like stoking the flames, like kind of against Mariah almost when saying that type of stuff, like, aren't you guys hooking up, dating, like question mark? So I thought it was weird to really stoke the flames there. So, and like Mariah playing dumb, I was just like, what is everyone on this cast at the moment?
It was rather unexplainable from all parties involved there. I feel like I'm starting to figure out who Mariah is on the show, and I don't know if she realizes who she is on the show. And I didn't pick it up until like after the elimination ended and she was getting like her final confessionals. She is the Bachelor villain. Like, and I know that sounds weird because she's not coming off as a villain here, but like she is the one on The Bachelor. And like, and I was really getting this vibe from her where, you know, everybody's voting for her and she's just like, yay, that's fine. Like, awesome, cool, I appreciate it. And then like at the end when Nani wins elimination and everyone's cheering, like, oh yeah, like of course Nani's friends are all excited that she's coming back in, and nobody, not even Fessel's like, you know, he's yelling out, oh, good season, Mariah, like that's it. And she's just like, yay, thanks guys, cool. And it was just giving very like, you know, Bachelor villain who like is, you know, knows their role on the show and is just like not gonna let everybody else see them frown.
You know, I've been out of the Bachelor rotation for a couple seasons now, so
take my word for it.
I'm not sure, but frankly, I wish that Mariah had villain upside. I've seen a little bit. I know that this was a take of yours. I've seen a little bit of the Boriah online talking about her. So I don't think people are particularly happy with her on the show. A little more interesting in her podcast appearance, I guess. But I don't know. I feel like Mariah like has potential, but I don't know that I was getting villain or really too much of anything from her this season.
Yeah, and it's really not in the sense of like she comes off like a villain. It's just like she, like it's really just all about the smiling through the times where like any normal human being would like be genuinely upset and frustrated or whatever and would show that. And I don't know, maybe she just processes and handles things differently, but it was just getting that's the vibe I had. I don't know. So
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know she's like not fully all the way out yet and we don't know, you know, what's to come there. But like, are we getting Mariah back ever again? No, right?
I kind of feel like we are. I don't know. I mean, they've been so weird about who they do choose to return. It feels like they have like one spot besides the Vacation Alliance for vets. So it would be tough to see if that is the case, it going to Mariah. But from what I know, she seems unproblematic. The way she spoke of Bananas, always trying to get her business opportunities and stuff on the podcast, it seems like he's not forbidding her from coming on the challenge in the future. So it feels like it's almost likely at this point if they have a couple open spots.
As far as I'm aware, there's some time before the next challenge film. So we have plenty of time for that Bananas and Mariah relationship to change. This season's going to end sooner or later, and we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what it is like it's going to determine where we stand in a couple seasons. It seems like they may even be shaking up like who's eligible for Challenge USA, who's eligible for All Stars. So I wonder if the casting pool of the regular Challenge 38 changes, or if some people come back, move over, you know, or leave the Challenge 38 casting pool. And I think that is leaves very much to be seen.
I mean, the only thing that I'm picking up from all of that is that we're going to get Fessel, Casey, and probably Josh coming back on the USA version, and then showing up again on 39.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that's the case, but we'll see. I was more so like let's bring Natalie Anderson, but
I mean,
I don't know if that's how we're translating things here.
I don't know. All right. Well, back to what's going on in the house. We are going to get a little bit of a Fessel and Jordan confrontation, which is really not much of a confrontation, but you know, they're just, you know, the awkward energy is back because now it's pretty clear that they're not on the same side, which then turns into Tori versus Jordan round 38, 39, 40, 50. Who's counting?
Yeah, interesting. I always try to like point this out, like the energy that certain people have when in different confrontations, and just like thinking about Fessel in a confrontation with Jordan is like super light, you know, like thought you were man of your word, like shuts up and walks away. Versus like when he's against Josh or against like women or other people in general, it seems like he is more outspoken. I know that he is like very shy and reserved and all of those things. But I'm trying to keep an eye on like Fessy's energy in confrontations with
Please
me.
do. Like, I appreciate that perspective because I hadn't even thought about it, but like you can literally look at the back-to-back conversations of how he talked to Mariah, and then how he talked to Jordan 3 seconds later.
Yep. So, that was interesting, but yeah, I don't know. And then this devolving into Jordan versus Tori again. I mean, when Anissa's like, if I'm sick of it, like I know everybody else is too. It's like, yeah, including the audience. Like, so
All of
editors,
us.
like, you know what you're like, you're blatantly agreeing that we're all annoyed by this and no one wants to watch this, but like, yet I have to have at least one or two weekly scenes.
Yeah. And potentially more to come in the
Oh,
future.
I'm sure next season will not be devoid of Tori and Jordan bullshit.
So there's, you know, great news for all of us. I don't have anything, you know, further on this. It's just it's more of the same. I got nothing until there's anything new in terms of what they're fighting about. I got nothing.
Yeah, well, that's what it is this whole like opening for me feels like I've seen this. Like Fessel and Mariah, seen it. Like Tori and Jordan, seen it. Like everyone complaining about how they're bored of it, seen it. Like I don't need this again. And when you put that in with some of the other scenes we get this episode, I do feel like this episode you could basically have copy and pasted like six scenes from earlier episodes and gotten this exact episode. They felt like almost nothing new.
Let's get right into the next part that is copy and pasted. Team underdogs meet. Team overdog meets. And they're all just discussing what happened in the last week, and we all have to stay strong and do it again.
Yep. Okay. So moving on. like, there's nothing there.
No.
We get what? Amber's call with her family, which, like, is cute. And I would enjoy more if we had not seen, like, 10 other scenes of how Amber and Chauncey are a cutesy lovey couple.
And this goes back to my point last week. I'm just falling asleep every time that they're on. And it's not because of, you know, anything to, like, it's so not anything to do with them as people, as a couple. I think that they're adorable together. I'm so happy for them. I am an Amber fan. Is that documented at all? Like, I like Amber on the show. I want her here. And I'm happy she's happy, but it's still boring me. Just as a television, you know, scene. All of these television scenes. And this entire episode was filled with even more of them. Of, you know, Chauncey feeling bad that he ended up, you know, putting Amber in this position. And Amber says, "Well, no, I love you. I don't want you to feel." You know, it's like it's just all giving. You know, healthy relationship, which doesn't give good TV.
Yeah, and I
It's
don't
terrible.
need them to be in an unhealthy relationship.
I
Like, I'm
know.
fine watching them have drama with other people.
Yeah.
So like that's fine. Go be cutesy and then just don't show it on television. Like for, you know, 18 out of 12 episodes that we are in so far. But even like Mariah said on the podcast that like Chauncey and Amber were just locked in that room 24/7, like hanging out with each other. So I don't know. Like, I'm bored. I would rather you just like mix it up a little bit. I know that's not like great strategy. But like Chauncey wanted to be here so badly, it seemed like. I feel like Chauncey really wanted this opportunity, and is very glad to have it. And like locking yourself in a room with Amber and like making out all day is not how you come back.
Yeah. I think almost for Amber, it could be like a good strategy because she only can get herself into trouble by being around everybody else. Like, when she starts to like hang around Casey too much is when Casey starts to be like, I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, for Fessel to like eventually end up later in the episode voting for Nani, and because like, well, I've built really good trust with Amber. It's like, when?
Casey too. Casey also did not vote for Amber when, I mean, I guess the team had kind of decided that they were, you know, aiming towards Mariah, but like Casey and Amber have not always had a great relationship, but she didn't vote for her.
Yeah, I mean, specifically for Fessel to like, it doesn't seem like him and Nani have a bad relationship. Per se, but like they've been on a number of seasons together, whereas like Casey is just meeting Mariah for and like doesn't know her from any other rookie. Whereas like her and Amber have had like not a great relationship, but like at least they know each other, and Amber has always tried to extend that olive branch. So the Fessel one like was more surprising, especially because he verbalized it
Yeah,
in that
also
way.
there was a graphic going around today talking about the Big Brother 16 like pre-jurors. It popped up on my timeline, and I was like, oh my God, Amber was on Big Brother 16.
Yikes. And you said the Big Brother is 16 pre-jurors, and I was like, who? like, oh yeah, Amber.
I was like, wait, she didn't debut on reality television with her rookie challenge season where she won? Like,
I'm sure that she and we would all like to forget her experience on Big Brother 16 and Big Brother 16 as a whole.
amen. So aside from the Amber and Chauncey scene, the last thing before the challenge is, as I already kind of touched on, the Nani and Casey scene, which is the exact type of scene on a reality television show that will choke me up, make me cry. You know, Nani's story the entire way through the season has been about how she's pushing through and, you know, wanting to continue doing this show. Her mom was always supportive of her being on the show, and just, you know, keep doing it, keep making her mom proud. And the way that Casey puts it really is what kind of like, you know, made me you know, have an even harder time with the scene of just being like, yeah, this is the first time Nani's here, knowing that when she goes home, her mom isn't there waiting, and like, oh, that's brutal. So just, it was, you know, just a nice scene for the two of them.
Yeah, a nice scene for sure. Definitely. Like while we've had a couple of these, especially with it being her mom's birthday, like worthwhile to watch for sure. Was waiting for and blanked on his name really hard at first. Like Turner to pop out with Jasmine's of like, is of releasing balloons best for the environment? And like, okay, to like I was waiting for those takes, but didn't see them.
You know what I didn't see coming? Turner and Jasmine getting a name drop here.
They've been unfortunately relevant recently.
I know I called out Big Brother as a whole like 5 seconds ago, 5 minutes ago, but I still would not have had those two names on the card. But here we are. So yeah, point taken. Challenge time. It is called Blind Faith, and I'll just tell you right up front, I enjoyed the structure of this one. I enjoyed the different take on a daily challenge from all the ones that we've had lately. And while it did go pretty long, especially like into the night in real time, I still liked it better than a lot of the ones we've been getting lately.
It's just like fine. I think that the momentum was like 0% there, especially when TJ is like, and I'll meet you at the checkpoint for the next challenge or whatever he says. And then they just like follow 10 feet behind him walking like halfway across like a soccer field. So I was like, this is like a little cheesy, not super interesting for me personally. But it was fine.
I like the end when he was like, I'll meet you at the challenge letters. I'm like, oh, we're talking about them. I thought they were just like hidden, mysterious letters that nobody actually saw.
Yeah, I feel like it's been quite a while since they've been referenced.
So yeah, this, if you didn't watch, this is four separate mini challenges within the daily challenge where the two teams will have to nominate a player or players to go participate, and they're only getting to figure out who's going to play based off a little symbol that shows up on TJ's board, which were very specific as to what they were playing. Like, it wasn't like, you know, a picture of like a dog, and it was like, you know, okay, I don't know where I was going to go with that. I was going to be like, you don't have to eat a dog, but like,
Oh my God.
well, there was an eating challenge. And
Oh
okay,
my
forget.
God.
Back up.
I gotta leave.
Look, I don't want anything to do with dogs, especially eating them.
Oh my God.
sorry. Vessel versus Jordan
Put a
is going to be the
content warning
first
on
one
this
here.
episode.
What'd you say?
So put a content warning on this episode.
For a lot of reasons.
For Big
Fessel
Brother
versus Jordan is
24
going to be the first
mentioned.
one. I'm trying to get past my topic, Scally. By the way, happy belated birthday, publicly on the podcast.
All right. So
remember when you got older this past week?
Oh my God. Okay, fine. Content warning again.
What a great time. Were you trying to say something important?
No. Not at all.
All right, great. So this first symbol is a bullseye, a target. And Jordan immediately puts his hand up because he feels he's pretty accurate in just about everything. What did you make of TJ asking them? Like, why? He was very, that was like Probstian.
Yeah. I mean, just like, whatever. Like, what else are you going to ask? But I more so enjoyed like Amber's analyzing of like Fessel also stepping up of like, yeah, ego, ego, ego. Like, that's all this is. And I agree.
Yeah. They end up in this challenge where they have to slingshot the, I don't know, whatever they're slingshotting to a target very far down the field. It was giving very Amazing Race vibes with the watermelon. I wish that kind of might have happened. Well, if they were using watermelon, I don't want them getting hurt. And if you miss a target, you have to drink this very interesting looking concoction that, of course, immediately makes Fessel regret doing this challenge. We saw him in that final that he does not do well with the eating portion. Which Jordan was cracking up at, but neither one of them did very well in all of the drinking of all of those liquids.
Yeah, and I feel like the strategy on the challenge is well documented of just like put it in your mouth and be like, oh no, and yeah, just like and then, spit it out. Yeah, exactly. Just like sell it a little bit and they're not going to call you out. But it seemed like they were genuinely drinking this. And again, I don't ever need a gross eating challenge. I think they're like stupid. And I like actively was hiding my face. Like, I don't want to watch this. I'm not someone that gets like queasy easy, but like this is not interesting. I just found it gross and not enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I mean, just exactly as they kind of always are. And luckily, we don't really have to pay full attention to the puking because we have to pay attention to Devin Walker being the smartest human ever to grace the earth. And, you know, of course, that will have to get highlighted of how wonderful and smart and what a leader he is.
Honestly, anything to take me away from the vomiting, I'm good with. So, okay. Like, slightly less nauseating than the vomiting was Devin taking, you know, absolute credit for everything. But it seemed like he knew what he was talking about and actually did have some strategy behind this.
Right. And it helps Jordan. He gets the first one. It seems like it might have helped Fessel because Fessel gets his first one. And eventually Jordan gets number two and number three and finishes locking in around maybe 38 minutes. And
yeah,
then
something like that.
And then Fessel, who is taking a much longer time, what the hell happened here and why?
I mean, imagine throwing up for 38 minutes straight, let alone like an hour that Fessel was doing. I would feel awful watching anyone do this. It's just like, there at a certain point you have nothing left to throw up. Like, it's just like absolutely destroying your throat. I just cannot imagine like allowing this to happen. I really didn't think that we were ever to get to a point at which they would be throwing up for an hour straight. Like, that's disgusting and probably harmful. Mm-hmm. to your insides. And so I feel like everyone just like felt so bad that they tell Devin like, help Fessel, like this is awful, this is inhumane, like just get him through this. And apparently Devin was like, are you sure? Like, really? And everyone except for Horacio is like really pushing for this. So he does help him, which seems to have been a mistake, but I don't know. I don't know if I could have watched someone do this for much longer either.
Shouldn't this have been in production for setting like a limit?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like there should be like have been timeouts, like at an hour, you guys, like you're done. Or, you know, you can quit and take like an extra hour or something, like an extra half hour, whatever you want to say. But it was brutal.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, like, Fessel's not quitting and taking the extra half hour because in his mind he's like, I'll just figure it out. Or then again maybe because he was having a terrible time throwing up. But like, you know, for him to be the reason that, like, knowing that he's tacking on an extra half hour, whatever the time was, but mm-hmm. at least to have the option there, because it was weird, just, you know. And then of course seeing that Devin and his team are going to lose, and they did help Fessel where he easily could have been there for another hour trying to get this target and not getting it. But
well, so my thing is, I'm assuming that production did not test the grossed food and be like, how sustainable is this for this long? But I have to imagine they at least tested this slingshot. And like, what sharpshooters do they have out there that it took like significantly less time where they thought this was going to be like okay and manageable? Because if they thought it was going to take remotely this long, I think it's like really irresponsible and gross that they had them like vomiting for this amount of time. I just can't imagine being like, oh, it's going to take minimum 40 minutes for this to happen and to drink like 100 shots in that period of time and be like, okay, approved, like move along.
Maybe they tested it with Devin and he helped production as well, and they were done within like 10 minutes each.
I just like don't understand like what the dream team's capabilities are if it was like, yeah, this is like amazing and clear and great. They'll be done in 5 minutes.
They're certainly also not doing the drinks.
100%, but I still feel like even if you're doing, but like when you know that the like people on the field will be doing the drinks, even if you're like dream team takes half an hour, let's say it's like, okay, over half an hour, how many times did they take, how many shots did they take like with the slingshot? Yeah. And then how many like gross foods does that equate to? Like maybe we shouldn't have them eat 45 cups of this and like be vomiting over and over and over.
Yeah, they've also probably done much worse with food challenges in the past, so.
And many other challenges. Yeah. Like, it's not as if the challenge has ever been concerned for the safety, but it feels like it's so easily rectifiable, but just like, let's move this 10 feet closer.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would have helped Fessel. He was struggling, but anything would have helped.
15 feet closer.
Anything like, would have helped.
Yeah, exactly.
But whatever. Devin's the smartest man in America, except when it comes to puzzles, because him and Nani are going to take the next mini mission here, mini challenge, and face off against Olivia and Anissa. Any thoughts on, I mean, none of these picks surprised me. It was, you know, everybody was going to take a turn at some point. And for, you know, most of the people here, it was like, yeah, this one makes sense for you.
Yeah, I mean, exactly that. Like, yeah. All right. I don't think Nani is bad. But I think it was a little bit of like, where can we hide Nani? Because it's not like I think that any of the women were like jumping at the opportunity to do a puzzle. And I think it more so was like, where can, like, who will be best for the others? And so let's put Nani here. And then Anissa and Olivia, I think it was like, all right, like a puzzle seems like in your wheelhouse more than like probably other things that are going to be popping up.
I mean,
so.
It could have been like a rock climbing challenge. And if Anissa got picked to do it, she would have been like, back in my day when we started the first ever challenge, we were rock climbing all the time. And I won this elimination that was kind of just like this. So I know what I'm doing here.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's her role now. That and also just like being kind of condescending towards people and not coming off great, in my opinion.
Yep, yep, yep. I did enjoy, I think it was Fessel had the confessional, or maybe, I don't know if it was confessional, but he was just like, wow, Anissa is putting Olivia to work, which we saw, just barking orders out to her, like, oh, turn this, do this, flip this, do that. Okay.
Yeah,
but it worked.
I mean,
they won. They
I appreciated it as a not Olivia fan, so that was good with it.
They did the better time there, and Devin was not very happy, but is what it is there. He's still super smart. Don't worry, Devin. You're fine.
A very narrow win by Anissa and Olivia.
Mm-hmm. The memory challenge was next with Amber and Horacio versus Tori and Bananas, and Amber and Horacio pulled out the faster time there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems like Tori struggled a little bit. She was apologizing to Bananas. I think that this was not like Tori's ideal place to be either, but it was more so like, all right, let's save Casey. For some reason, they all were like pretty sure the last round was going to be physical.
And like, either way, like, this just is another example of why, like, Amber is a final threat. I mean, she won. She won.
So, hey, you brought it up. We talked about the edit a little bit earlier. We talked about these incessant Amber and Chauncey scenes.
No.
Is it?
No.
Is it?
No.
Is it?
No.
I don't know. The thought crossed my mind last night.
No, I think you need a lot more Chauncey.
Is
in
it
order.
Like, what more are you gonna show?
I need like one other person besides Amber to tell me anything about Chauncey on the season for me to take that, you know, thought seriously.
We'll see.
In my head, because I don't think the twist is ending next week, in my head Chauncey's going home next.
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like Survivor has built up a winner in less time than the challenge has left, for sure. And the challenge has much weirder edits, so nothing would surprise me at this point.
Well, yeah. Remember when I said I'm an Amber fan? I still am. But don't think I'm calling that one. But again, this is why Amber is a final threat. And
not calling or not rooting for?
Not both.
Ooh. All right. Remind me to ask for your rooting interest at the end.
We could do it now.
Ooh, and
This is hard.
it is very hard.
This, I don't know how to answer this. Oh boy. Oh my. Olivia, nope.
Nope.
I
Don't say
started with
that. Don't
Aracia
say that.
would have been a top pick.
It's bad.
I don't like this.
I don't either.
Okay, Amber and Chauncey are pretty high up there.
Yep, it really is. Really, for me, I think it is Amber and Chauncey at the moment. So, like a plus one and zero is still plus one.
Well, okay. Amber and Chauncey both winning their rookie seasons would be iconic.
Yeah, I would not be mad at it. Especially we got like protect Chauncey. Like he's not that strong. We're not intimidated by him. And then like to have him come back, like decent.
Okay, I actually want to do this though. So Jordan and Anissa, I'm putting them back in their ride or die pairs. Jordan
Okay.
and Anissa are at the bottom for me. No,
Okay.
thank you. Don't need another Jordan win.
Agreed.
We'll put Fessel and Mariah above them because I don't need a Fessel win. We'll put Bananas and Nani above them because I'm sorry, Nani. I would love to see you be a challenge champion, but I don't need an eighth Bananas win.
No.
Wow, Kenny Clark is so high on this list.
He's so high.
I'm gonna have to go Casey and Kenny next
Wow.
because I just don't know what I would do with that. I may
All
even
right.
swap Casey and Kenny there with Bananas and Nani just because I would not mind seeing Nani get that win finally. Kenny Clark winning his rookie season. Who knows? Who am I left with? Amber and
Hey, that
Chauncey.
is one of the most respectable men that has ever played this game. How dare
You're right.
you?
Tori and Devin, Amber and Chauncey, and am I missing a team?
Olivia and Horacio.
Olivia and Horacio. I'll go Olivia and Horacio after
Okay.
that. So third from the top. And then I'm down to Amber and Chauncey and Tori and Devin. And I do like Amber the most out of those four people. So, but I already told you that I'm not rooting for them the most. A Tory win here would be so satisfying in the sense of not Jordan winning.
Yes.
But even though Jordan would then claim like, "Oh, I was helping her all along. I wanted her to win." And Devin is showing out this season in a lot of different ways, so it would be like well earned if this is his time. But I don't know that they're my number one rooting interest. I think Amber and Chauncey.
Yep, there we go. That's where I landed. I thought about this last week after we recorded, and I was like, ooh. Because there was like a moment where I was like, is it Nelson and Norris? And then things came to light, and
Oh,
it
it
was not.
was. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, that changed as well when I like remembered things and found out things. So probably not. But since Michelle and Jay left, really opened the playing field for my rooting interest and
Wow.
landed on Amber and Chauncey. I feel like Devin and Tori, while I feel like they've had good seasons, much especially compared to their last couple in my book, their egos are just so big already, and it would be so frustrating to have to deal with like challenge champ Devin. Like, ugh, I don't like that. Challenge champ Tori deal. Like, no, I'm
Yeah,
not
but I
signing
also
up.
don't hate it. I.
I kind of do, but I hate other options more.
Yeah, I certainly hate a lot of other options more, and also like I like new champs, which is why I don't want Bananas and Jordan, getting it when it seems like this could or should be theirs for the taking. But they also have partners that are not, making it super clear that they would be the
A
winner.
0% chance that Jordan and Anissa win this final.
I agree. So I don't know. Okay, let's get away from that because
It's too scary.
there's nothing
Again,
fun
the
to talk
content
about there.
warning on this too.
I thought it was a worthwhile activity. It might have been, but yeah, okay.
I think it was to just like maybe wake everyone up to what we're left with, but it was definitely took us off
Jay and
the
Michelle are coming back. Their ride or dies are TJ, and he's still in the game.
Oh, there we go.
Or TJ and Roxanne will win the final.
I would sign the dotted line, no question, for them to win this.
Please, 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 please. Or like maybe like, oh, next week it looks like something shocking happens, so like maybe somebody has to leave the game and they bring Nom back.
There we go. Yeah, Nom.
I could see it.
All
The
right.
last challenge of this challenge is going to be a bungee challenge where both partners are attached to a bungee and they both have to get to the bar on the far end of the field, holding onto it at the same time, which is very hard because it's connected to both of them, and it's a lot harder than I would say probably looks. Not that I've ever done it, but it certainly looks very hard. It's Jordan and Mariah versus Chauncey and Casey.
Again, how strong are the Dream Team members that are testing out these challenges? Because, like, Chauncey and Casey are no slouches from what we've seen, and for it to be this difficult for them, I just question that, like, how many other women in this field could have actively done this?
Not many.
Yeah, like, maybe Tori, and I'm not convinced. So, That's my thing, is, like, were we just going to time out no matter any other combination?
If Mariah's strong, and we know what Jordan is.
For sure.
So, if those two couldn't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, grip strength is, like, something very specific that I guess, like, you probably don't work on unless you're doing things that you need it for, including the challenge. But Mariah is someone generally, like, if I was ranking, like, the physically strongest women on the challenge, at this moment, she would be pretty high up there. So I just feel like, at the point where it's completely impossible for them to do, then why are we making it this difficult?
I do think Olivia can get it done.
Who knows? I'm not convinced necessarily, because I would have had Mariah over Olivia at this point.
Yeah. Either way, they don't get it done. Chauncey and Casey do, and they lock in their time, and everyone else is like expecting that eventually Jordan and Mariah will get it, and then they'll, you know, end up with a win because they already had such a lead on their team. But, you know, all plays out in, the worst nightmare scenario for the Devin and Jordan team, and they do end up losing. Jordan and Mariah could not pull it off. TJ congratulates everybody because it was a very long day, and he says it's one of the longest, hardest challenges he's seen in a while, which everybody seemed to be on the same page and agreeing with. It was just, a lot of different legs, and probably just standing around all day is like almost as exhausting. I mean, I know that sounds kind of silly, but like, I don't know. So that's it. And the pink team versus the yellow team or something like that?
The yellow team. And that's, again, I saw someone bring this up, but it's been like, I flagged it before. Why? Like, why are we changing the colors of the teams every single week?
I don't know. I mean, they literally named them Team Underdog, but I guess since they won, they were like, well, we can't use that anymore.
Yep. All right. Like, sure. Like, whatever. Just again, say whatever you want. I don't care at this point. It's still Mariah's team, even though she went home.
Yeah. So there's that one scene we already talked about after this of Amber and Chauncey, and Chauncey feels bad because he did directly put Amber in. We haven't really talked a whole lot about like throwing, but like, should he have thrown?
Yes, I think that both Casey and Chauncey probably should have thrown this.
And then, I mean, Casey mentions earlier, well, if my team loses, then I have to go in and maybe I go home. But like, she probably could feel more confident in herself coming back.
Yeah, I definitely think that Casey in an elimination is more of a guarantee than Nani, especially given Nani's track record. So I would feel better about Casey against her field than Nani against her field.
Right. This is where we are. The interrogation was very interesting this week.
All right. So then we get to the, Nani walks in and is like, thanks for all being my friends. Peace out. Like, Amber's like, I don't want to go against Nani. And then, you know, Festival throws Mariah under the bus. Like, what do we got?
Mm-hmm. Nope. That's it.
Yeah. Bananas saying that Festival gave the team the green light to vote for her and he would never treat his ride or die like this. Do we believe?
That he would, so he would not treat Nani like that, and I do believe that.
Yes.
If his ride or die was like switched up in the season, and Mariah was then his ride or die, no, he would certainly do the same thing Fessy's doing.
Let's say that this was, what is this, Fessy's fourth season? Let's go to Johnny Banana for the challenge, because I don't think that Fessel does this to Casey. Let's say, does Bananas do this to every single woman who has ever been on the challenge in his fourth or fifth season?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And worse. So, like, has done worse. So, I don't need Bananas, like, morality tour here. Right.
Well, that's what you get. I have nothing else from this interrogation.
Not literally nothing.
Yep. Next highlight for me is a Somewhere Only We Go drop in the episode after Casey and Nani chat. So some music playing there. That's my music cue of the week. Nani really just did not think she was coming back.
Yeah, I mean, again, look at the record. So it's like it would not have been a surprising outcome for Nani not to come back here.
Certainly not. As we get to the elimination, we're going to see the way that the votes shake out, and let's go through them one by one because there's so much else to talk about here. Fessel is going to vote for Nani because, as you mentioned earlier, he wants to make peace with Amber, and of course, he's not going to vote for his ride or die.
Yeah, was surprised to see that him and Amber have apparently established trust over, like Fessel, what I would have assumed was at least a semi-positive relationship with Nani. So, oh well.
That's what I would have thought too. Olivia votes for Nani, which I feel like she's done before as well.
I don't have any memory of who Olivia has voted for before, but I was a little surprised. I feel like just voting for Nani has like some weight behind it, no matter who you are. So to see Nani get two votes here was surprising for me.
I'm pretty sure she did because I think, the last person that went home from this team was Nerys, and Olivia was friends with Nerys, so pretty sure she voted for Nani there. But yeah, totally agree. Bananas votes for Amber, which makes sense. He's not voting in his ride or die Nani or the woman that he is cuddled up with, Mariah. So Amber is going to get that vote.
There we go.
Casey votes for Mariah, which was a little surprising to me because it wasn't Amber, but not that surprising because they, again, agreed there. So Chauncey
Yeah, I
votes
wasn't
for.
surprised. I thought it was just like, all right, which of, the three women outside of Olivia are all voting together for not Nani, and I figured that was falling on Mariah.
Right. Yeah. Chauncey, Tori, and Anissa all cast their votes for it. Mariah. And Tori's like, out of respect for Chauncey and Casey's lovers who really helped us so much today. Like,
Like, yikes.
just cast your vote.
Yeah, picking up on Fessel's language, where I was like, oh, really, cheapened like Tori and Jordan's like engagement to ex-lovers, and then Tori's out here doing the same thing to Casey and Nani and Chauncey and Amber.
Well. Yeah. And then we are going to get, of course, the dagger drawing, and it's going to be Amber and Nani the only ones down there. Of course, a different situation this week where if one of them pulls the safe dagger, they're not saving anybody else but themselves. Did you have any thoughts on what Anissa was describing as, an Academy Award winning, like dramatic performance or whatever?
Rolled my eyes a little bit at Anissa. I feel like this is her spot now, is just like making fun of people at the last minute before elimination. I don't know. I'm like kind of could go without it. But as for Amber, I also was just like, since when are you guys this close? Nani's social game must be phenomenal. Because like to see Michelle in the first episode crying hysterically, to see Amber like, I almost thought Amber was gonna like throw herself in to save Nani at this point. So, I don't know how Nani's social game is this good, especially when Amber is supposedly not even talking to anyone this season. So like good on Nani for having that great of a social game,
And we
apparently.
did, I mean, we saw glimpses of this with the last time when Nerys went in, that Amber and Nani, they made that deal with each other, and Amber had, or Nani had the deal with both Amber and Mariah. But it's, we started to pick up on the fact that these two were getting closer, or like you said, Nani just has a great social game and has convinced Amber that they're super close, whichever it is.
But just like, oh, we should like stick together as the two vets, because the two rookies are going to stick together. Like, okay, that makes sense. And that's what I thought it was. Versus, like, if I have any ride or die in this house except for Chauncey, it's Nani. It's like, what? Like, who? You guys have spoken before?
Nani
Okay.
must, she, li truly though, like, must have like a really, like, look at the Michelle of it all with Nani.
That's what I'm saying. And, like, you could say that, like, okay, she and Casey and Tori and Anissa, like, they've been on a lot of seasons together. And so, like, obviously, they're going to be sticking together here as, like, the women who have been on the challenge the longest and, like, oh, we should look out for each other. But, like, that entire team is just, like, absolutely no way Nani ever goes into any elimination. So, like, a better social game than most for sure.
Yeah, 100%. So it's going to end up being Nani that goes in. Amber does pull the safe dagger. So it's going to be Nani versus Mariah in an elimination called I Can See, where there's going to be two heavy walls and a rope that is attached to you. And as you move farther away from this heavy wall and you pull the wall with you, it slides up. You see the words that need to be unscrambled. Bring it back to your board, unscramble the words, and first person to do so and ring their buzzer is the winner. But of course, we do have a special guest. As we alluded to earlier, TJ's wife is on location and gets to come watch this elimination.
Oh, Roxanne Lavin. Didn't know that TJ was married to a baddie, but okay, brought her out. I don't know. This felt super random, but she seems nice and cool.
I mean, I fully took Tori's confessional in, at face value and believed every word that she when she was making it seem like all of the guys, I'm picturing Bananas, Jordan, Fessy all looking down, being like, "Ooh, pretty woman just walked." Like, no, that is TJ's wife.
Oh my God, men on the challenge objectify a woman? I am shocked. yeah, we all knew this was
Couldn't be.
happening. So, sure. I don't know why she's here. I feel like she's been on location plenty of times on other seasons of the challenge, but whatever. This is fine. I don't care.
It's the theme, ride or dies, so
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well, might as well.
Better than the 10 more seconds of the same old content that we would have gotten otherwise.
TJ posted a picture on his Instagram of one of the producers this week, and he was like, shout out to this guy, I guess, and it was something like, watch this week's episode. So I guess one of the producers made this happen, and he seemed very appreciative of that. The elimination itself is pretty, both of the women stay pretty, neck and neck at it. I'm sitting here the whole time thinking that Nani's going to lose because it's Nani in elimination and I don't have any confidence in her, but like I said, pretty neck and neck.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny when TJ was like, Roxanne, look at what Mariah's doing. Absolutely terrible
I know.
strategy. Which I was like, why? Seems like it would take the same amount of time as what Nani's doing, only for Nani to change her strategy to doing the exact same thing, like one turn later. So very random for them to show that, especially when it turned out both people would just be doing that anyway.
Yeah, they were both doing fine. I mean, and the way that it ended up finishing is that both of them had it almost the exact same time. We're screaming check out loud so close to each other that, I said that first. No, I said it first. I said it first. Oh, neither of you idiots hit your buzzers. They finally hit their buzzers, and when it's that close, and of course, it's so, so awkward. Roll the tapes, check the tapes, make sure this is fair.
Check the cameras, dead ass. Okay.
They're going to. And they did, and Mariah actually got to the buzzer first, but was wrong.
Yeah, so Mariah has claimed on the podcast that she actually did have it correct, but since the letters were all in the sand, they weren't sticking perfectly, and the letters for devotion actually fell. And when she put them back up, she was so focused on the last word that she put the O and the I in the wrong order, and that's what lost her this challenge. But in
Okay.
rewatching the entire challenge, I paused it over and over and over, and every single time Devotion is on that board, she has OIN. So I don't know. Maybe they edited it strangely, but it seemed like Mariah was spelling that word inconsistently the entire challenge.
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird story to tell, with knowing that the footage is out there, but I don't know.
Maybe she thought she had it correct and just actually did have it wrong both times. But that's how it looked on the episode. She also, did you see Mariah's tweets about this challenge?
I did not. Please share.
So, a call that I love about this challenge, and I was wondering, could they just not see the board? Because it didn't seem like there was actually too much helping going on in this challenge. And it turns out that the Peanut Gallery were told they actually were not allowed to help on this challenge, which is great. Finally, let's do that all the time. Please have them restricted from helping in any puzzles or word scrambles or whatever the case may be, where the challenge just is going to be completely ruined by people being allowed to help. But it seems like maybe Casey did not fully listen to those rules and did help Nani at one point.
But if they were clear about these being the rules, how could they have let that slide?
So she says that what happened was that basically Nani was really struggling. At one point, Casey helps. Jordan yells kind of like, really? Like, are we like, you're serious right now? And then tries to help Mariah back because Casey is screwing with the elimination. And so I don't know if they were just like one for one, oops. Or, I feel like had, let's say, Fessel tried to help Mariah, then maybe they would have been like penalty Mariah. But it's Nani. The challenge is we didn't see it. I don't know. We're not gonna look at this. I don't know.
That's bizarre. I mean, but you also have to keep in mind that when does anybody lose an elimination and not have something to say about it?
And especially, like I said, where Mariah's like, I had it right until they fell off the board. Like, I'm a
Right,
great speller, and I'm like, are you? I went and looked. So I don't know if this is accurate, but it's what Mariah's claiming, at least. I could see it,
I could see it too,
honestly,
and I'm not
but
trying to like pick on Mariah for this. It's just like sometimes you just lost.
yeah, which is fine. I mean, I feel like this could have gone any which direction, for basically any person in the house. So like, whatever. I'm not particularly impressed by Nani winning this elimination, and I'm not like, wow, like Mariah, my stock in Mariah fell because she's put two words in like the two letters in the like wrong order.
Right.
Even if this was like a semi blowout, like it would not change my opinion of either of them in any significant way.
Yeah, no, for sure. So that's the elimination there. Fessel's very proud of Mariah. You had a hell of a rookie season. Good for you. And Mariah in confessionals like, yeah, he's happy. I'm gone. It's whatever.
So, do you know what career win in eliminations this is for Nani?
I am not 1,000% positive, but I feel like it's okay. I could be so underestimating, but I feel like it's only her third.
It is her fifth.
Okay, maybe it's her third individual.
It is okay. So she has done a total of 15 eliminations, has won 5 of them, lost 10 of them. So previously 4 and 10 before.
Yeah.
And out of a 6 total individual eliminations, it looks like she has only won 2 of them.
So this is her second.
This is her second,
Okay. Well.
at least according to what I'm looking at. So she previously beat Gabby on Double Agents, like towards the end there. But otherwise, yeah, Nani's second individual win coming through here.
The one that's sticking out in my mind is her in Georgia, where that was so awkward. That was not fun. Again, it's so not like meant to be like bashing on Nani, but like when you see her go into elimination, you just don't expect she's gonna come out. And she did come out because she maybe has written a book or something like that. I don't know, whatever Casey said.
She's
She's
a
a very good writer.
fantastic writer.
She's such a good writer. Like, famously, if anybody knows anything about Nani, it's that she is such a good writer.
Please rank all of your friends according to writing ability. Because, like, I could not tell you a single other adult's writing ability that I know. Like, I don't know who's good at writing and not. Like, unless you've written a book, you're all equal to me in my book. I have no
Scally,
idea.
am I a good writer?
I don't know.
Yes, you
Maybe.
do.
Do I? Oh, yeah,
I've
you're a
written
blogger.
blogs.
You are a great writer. So that counts as a book, in my
Hey.
opinion. Put them all together. I would buy it.
All right, great.
Again, but I don't know what the writing skill of like any other adults are, including ones I work with that I have to see their emails.
Yeah, I mean, who's like a famous like non-canceled writer that I can start calling Nani that person's name instead.
Could not tell you.
The only one I know is Suzanne Collins because she wrote
There you go.
The
I honestly was waiting to see who you came up with, but
Hunger
I will not lie.
Games.
Suzanne Collins
So
also came to mind.
TJ tells Suzanne Collins that she looks like the old Suzanne Collins down there on the elimination field. She really looks like her old self, and
No.
she's really got her mojo back.
Oh, Suzanne Collins. What the nickname? What a nickname. Put it on the wiki.
What are you gonna see? The last thing she wrote, the recent Hunger Games
Oh,
prequel, The Ballad
yes.
of Songbirds, maybe.
I have not yet read it,
I haven't
but
read it either.
it's on the list.
Yeah, I have a list. I've read.
I have
Hashtag
a stack of books that have gone unread. So when I get
goodreads.
through those.
Yeah, me too. So then TJ tells everybody to come back down and welcome Suzanne back into the game. And Casey comes down for a hug.
Suzanne. No, it didn't work.
It works enough for me. And everybody's happy because she's back. And of course, Mariah is going to come back at the end, and TJ will tell her the big news that she is not yet fully eliminated, which I was like, I don't even know if she's happy about this. I mean, she's smiling, but I think she was fine to go home. And in the meantime, she'll be at the hotel with Kenny Clark.
Yeah, like Mariah, you're still in the game. She's like, wow, cool. Like, be less enthused, please. I don't know. I think she probably was just like, either knew something was going on or was just like, I don't know, kind of indifferent.
Yeah.
Maybe she just like assumes she's definitely going to get back in with Fessy, like, still there. I don't know. It seems weird.
Probably.
Yeah.
I would feel like that's a safe assumption, but
Same.
who knows? So that's really all I have for now. Mariah's again, I do feel like she'll end up back in. Like, I feel at this point probably feels like Kenny will too, because we're looking at there's still people people on the board that like will probably go home before, you know, like I'm looking at people like an Olivia that could get thrown in, or Anissa that, you know, on the women's side over there, Chauncey. I'm looking at, you know, just people that are around that could be eliminated before some of these other people. But in the meantime, we don't know when this twist is going to end, and those people will come back in. We don't know what's happening next week unless I'm missing anything, but it looked like TJ was telling everybody to get ready for something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I don't watch previews, so sure.
I don't know. It looked more dramatic than usual, and it wasn't Tori and Jordan fighting, so maybe something actually happens.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, well, that's it for now. Anything else from you?
Yeah, so as far as the challenge, I'm all good, but other things going on, anything I'm doing will be on Twitter at Brian_Scally, including I will be talking about the premiere of Drag Race this week, subbing in for the great Amon, who's not able to be there this week. So very excited to see Drag Race US come back, at least as if I have had a break at all from Drag Race. But excited to meet a new cast and go over that with Liana and Beth over on RHAP. Should be a ton of fun.
Is there like an equal number of like Drag Race contestants starting the season versus people still in the challenge season?
Honestly, it's probably close.
On episode 13.
Yeah. Yeah. But Drag Race will still go just as long. So.
Yes, it will. Well, I'm excited for a new season of Drag Race. It's been a minute as far as the U.S. seasons go. International seasons and whatnot, there have been plenty of. But excited to watch that episode and check out the podcast. Was that it?
Yeah, for now. Okay. That's what I got going on.
Well, it's still early in the year. Again, if anybody missed that, it was just Scally's birthday. It was just New Year's Day a couple of days ago. So if you forgot to tweet him and tell him Happy New Year's Day, you still have time. You can still
there
do that.
There we go.
Not much else to check out from me, but of course we'll be back here next week. Of course, in the meantime, on Twitter at Matt Liguori. Make sure you're following Scally at Brian_Scally, but we know you are. And that's it, right?
That is it.
Okay. Thank you guys for checking this one out. We'll be back next week. Go read The Hunger Games between now and then if you're lost and confused, or just reread it. I don't know. We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody.